We're continuing our studies about the church, what God says about the company of Christians meeting in each locality, following the pattern set in the Scriptures. We're not interested now in these studies in how this church or that church, as they're called oftentimes, organizations or sects here on this earth, conduct their services, but we're going to try to find out the New Testament pattern. In Romans 12, reading from verse 3, I find these words, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you," that is, among you Christians, every Christian, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, the human body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many," we Christians, "being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Then in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we read this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." 7 times in the New Testament, the Lord tells us he doesn't want us to be ignorant. But I think we're probably more ignorant of these 7 things than anything else. We should not be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Now, these gifts are not, this is not something that we give to God. This is something that God has given to us. These are not things that we've inherited, not native ability, but gifts which the Spirit of God gives when we become Christians. We're told in verse 4, "Now there are diversities of gifts." There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then he tells some of the things which the Spirit of God gives, the different ones. He enables certain ones to do certain things. He says that he has set us, each one, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. Now the 14th chapter tells us to follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And the word prophesy is a general term that means teaching the Word of God. 3 forms of this are given in verse 3, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification has to do with the building up of the people of God. Exhortation has to do with stirring them up, and comfort has to do with cheering them up. Now he tells how this is to be in verses 23 to 33. He tells us that when the Christians come together, different ones will have different things to contribute. The church service, whether it's a worship service or teaching or preaching, will be done as the Spirit of God has given gifts to different ones. And he says, let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the other judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. And then he says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, which is the last time that this topic is mentioned, some years after writing to the Corinthians, Paul writes to the Ephesians and tells us that God has given gifts unto men. And he says he gave some apostles, this is Ephesians 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The apostles and the prophets, of course, were in the early church and are no longer needed. But we do have evangelists, pastors or shepherds, and teachers. And these are for the maturing of the saints. Perfecting means bringing them to maturity unto the work of the ministry, unto the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in or into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, full grown, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God wants us to grow up. He says that we are to speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Notice, there's no such thing as one man being hired to do everything, but every joint supplies a certain part. Every person has a function. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That is, the body of Christians will be built up because the Spirit of God leads each one to contribute something that will be of help to others. Now, whenever we read in the New Testament of our ministry, we simply are reading about service. Every Christian has some service which he can do for the Lord. This may be public, it may be private. In the case of the woman, it will not be teaching men or usurping authority over them, but they will have a responsibility of teaching the younger women, of teaching the children. Each of us has his place. Now, all of these gifts, we're told, come from the head of the church. Here in Ephesians 4, and we noticed it also back in 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit gives these gifts, not the church. The church does not own these gifts and cannot pass them out. They cannot be acquired by going to a training school. Now, it's wonderful to get special help and training, but there is no such thing as taking a man and making a gifted person out of him by a simple educational process. These gifts are not to be confused with native ability. They're not to be confused with the work that God has given, such as that of elders or deacons. A man may be an elder or a shepherd among the Lord's people and not be a gifted teacher at all. These are called spiritual gifts. Notice that their purpose is to edify the body. Why do we have so many weak Christians today? Why is it that the average Christian has almost no knowledge of the Word of God? It's very evident in reading through the Acts of the Apostles that the early Christians were filled with these things, and all of them were testifying. It says, all they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. Everybody preached. Why do we have so many weak Christians today? Well, it's because we have adopted a system which is foreign to the New Testament. We have one man responsible to do almost everything. Now, he may delegate certain things, and there may be a few people in the church who have some other responsibilities, but it is a foregone conclusion that this one man has all of the gifts. And this is not true. There is variety, according to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there were some temporary gifts, and we should not be confused by this. According to 1 Corinthians 13, there are some things that will cease. Some gifts were given for signs in the first century. They served their purpose, and they passed off the scene. Ephesians 4 lists the permanent gifts. Now, with the giving of a gift, the Lord gives the responsibility. The responsibility of each individual is to find out what gift, what function he has in the body. You see, as we grow up, we learn how to use the various members of our body. We've all seen a little baby trying to put his foot in his mouth. He doesn't know yet what to do with it. But he'll learn one of these days that those feet are to walk on. He'll learn that various members of his body have various functions. And so as we grow up as Christians, we learn to function as we ought, provided we're in a company of Christians where this is permitted. We're told in 1 Timothy 4 that we are not to neglect the gift. And in 2 Timothy 1, he says, stir it up. In 1 Corinthians 12, and again in the 14th chapter in verse 1, he tells us to covet earnestly the best gifts. That means that if you use a gift well, God may give you another. We're also told that they're to be under self-control. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. They're to be administered in humility. We have no reason to be proud of ourselves, because Paul says, what do you have that you didn't receive from God? And according to 1 Timothy 4, we can develop these gifts. You can study the Word of God and become a better teacher, a better helper among the Lord's people. Now, the hearers have a responsibility as well. You see, if this is done in the scriptural way, every time we meet together as Christians, we will be anxious to hear what the Spirit of God is going to give us through some brother who is there. We're not to quench the Spirit of God. We're not to despise prophesying. We're to learn from each other. Take heed how you hear. Test it by the Word of God. And then be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only. Search the Scriptures. See if these things are so. Oh, I tell you, friends, it works wonderfully well. And if we would get back to this simple pattern, we would find out that Christians would be edified and built up. Are you God's child? Have you really been born into God's family? Then if you have, develop the gift you have.